من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يقول الحق تعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وكذلك يقول: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. All praise and thanks are due to Allah. We praise Him and we thank Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. We take refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and from the sinfulness of our actions. Whomever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomever Allah misguides, none can guide. I bear witness that there is none worth worshiping but Allah alone, with no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and final messenger. Allah reminds us in Surah Ali Imran, He says, O you who have believed, have taqwa of Allah with the taqwa that is due to Him, and die not except in a state of submission, except in a state of Islam. And He also says subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, He says, O people, have taqwa of your Lord who created you from one soul and created from it its mate, and dispersed from both of them many men and women, and have taqwa of Allah through whom you ask one another and the wombs. Surely Allah is ever over you an observer. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قلت يا رسول الله إني أسمع منك حديثا كثيرا أنساه. قال: أبسط رداءك. فبسطته. قال: فغرف بيديه، وفي رواية قال: فغرف بيديه فيه، ثم قال: ضمه، فضممته فما نسيت شيئا بعده. رواه البخاري. We have an authentic narration. Sayyidina Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه says that one day I came to the Messenger of Allah and I said, Ya Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, you know, I've heard so many hadith from you that I keep forgetting. And so the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم says, take your overgarment, your rida, and spread it. He says, so I spread it on the floor, and then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's like he was gathering something with his blessed hand sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in one narration also mentioned in Bukhari, it's like he was putting something in it. And then he says, now close it and wrap yourself with it. And so Abu Huraira says, I did that, and after that moment, I didn't forget any hadith. And who is this radiallahu anhu but the most prolific narrator of hadith? If it weren't for him radiallahu anhu being so vigilant about conserving the hadith and protecting the hadith, much of what we know today about the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we wouldn't know. Yet what is it that caused him to go to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the first place and ask him for this thing and mention him and complain, tell him I'm forgetting these ahadith? It was his vigilance, his hirs over what? Over knowledge, over ilm. And there is so much value for ilm, for knowledge. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Mujadila, He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات والله بما تعملون خبير. He says, Allah will raise up by many degrees those of you who believed and those of you who have knowledge, belief and knowledge, ilm. And Allah is well acquainted and aware of what you do. And He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Az-Zumar, He says,
قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب.
He says, how can those be equal? The ones who know or the ones who don't know? How can they be equal in terms of their degrees, in terms of their status? And he says, only those who have understanding will take heed and remember. And we know in the famous hadith that's in the 40 of Imam an-Nawawi, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, this Sahabi, he narrates, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. That whoever walks upon a path, travels a path, and seeks knowledge therein, then Allah will ease for him the path to Jannah. And so literally by seeking knowledge, it makes it easier for us to enter Jannah. So we might ask, what kind of ilm or what kind of knowledge is this? Is there value? Are we talking about mathematics and science and engineering? Are we talking about degrees and graduate level degrees? No, not in these ahadith. Is there value to them? Yes. Even Al-Khawarizmi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his introduction to algebra, he talks very beautifully of mathematics and how he intends to help people split inheritance in the proper way. And so he's like, I'm coming up with these formulas. And if it weren't for him, this tablet wouldn't be working. Our computers, our phones, our smartwatches wouldn't be working if it weren't for him, rahimahullah ta'ala. So there was intense and immense value in that knowledge, of course. But this is not what's being referred to here. This is referring to knowledge of the Quran, knowledge of the hadith, knowledge of fiqh, you know, proper Islamic sharia, both ibadat. How do I personally worship Allah? Wait, do I have wudu or not? How do I pray? Do I have to remake my prayer up or not? Is my fast valid or not? And mu'amalat. Okay, now I'm in this business deal or even a small transaction. Is it sharia compliant? Is it proper what I just did? Is that halal or not? When it comes to family issues and even inheritance like we mentioned. And also issues related to aqidah. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are His attributes? How can I better understand Him so when I'm calling upon Him in the depths of the night, just me and Him, I better understand and I can engage with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama have kind of taken what we say as knowledge and general ways to seek knowledge, they've split them up into two major categories. And I'm specifically mentioning this here to challenge us as a community to really level up. You have maw'idah. Maw'idah are general reminders, like this khutbah. It might be spiritually uplifting, it might cause you to think of something, it might be like the Islamic conferences we attend, just a general lecture. It's cool, we go there, we benefit, alhamdulillah, but sometimes it goes away afterwards. It might be like the khatiras we attend. And then you have what they refer to as ilm. And here in this technical sort of terminology, it's referring to a structured curriculum. You're reading the Qur'an, you're studying it ayah by ayah, surah by surah. You're reading the tafsir, you're studying hadith and the meanings of the hadith. You're studying fiqh. It doesn't need to be in book form, but it oftentimes is in book form, in class form. And this is what I want us to challenge ourselves of, like, how can I level up in terms of that type of knowledge? Alhamdulillah, I come to the masjid. Alhamdulillah, I attend Salat al-Jum'ah. I attend the khatiras. I stay for those. I attend different lectures. If there's a conference, I go. But how can I really level up in terms of that next, subhanAllah, ilmi? People might ask, must I drop it all? And we do have examples here in DFW and even here at VRIC where people, they took a gap year and they moved down here. They said, I want to study Arabic. I want to study Islam. Or just in this past academic year, I know of a handful of examples of people who are working full-time and also enrolled full-time studying Arabic. Why? For the sake of ilm. And mashallah, crazy schedule. You're working full-time, you're studying full-time, you're doing this. But they did it. Do you need to do it? No. You don't need to go to that extent. But there are, inshallah, I'll give five practical reminders that we can apply today, all of us, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, of how we can make ilm a part of our lives. First of all, limiting distractions. The devices that we use. We're all, subhanAllah, we're all susceptible to it. Whether it's scrolling endlessly from video to video, or post to post, or even things that are kind of very shallow in terms of knowledge. Wikipedia, this article, to this article, to this article. And we're not really building depth in terms of knowledge, but rather it's shallow, a mile wide and an inch deep, as they say. And so try to limit that. Try to have times in your life where you're like, okay, I'm going to just unplug from WhatsApp for a little bit. Or I'm going to turn off my phone for a little bit. Or I'm going to put it aside for a little bit. Or I'm going to limit my own screen time. I don't need to watch all these shows and binge watch all of these seasons and movies and everything. Let me give it a little bit of a break. Two, focus on the basics. Some of us might not have finished our fard ayn, which is a fard upon every single Muslim. What do I have to know? The essential things I have to know about Allah. The essential things I have to know about fiqh, about how do I live my life as a Muslim. What are these instructions? Start with that. And if you've done that, then move on. But you don't need to move on to complicated things. You don't need to pontificate over very complicated philosophical matters that might not even have a transformative impact on your day-to-day life. Start with the Quran. Ask yourself, when is the last time I read the Quran cover to cover with the translation of the meaning in my language? Simple, cover to cover, Fatiha to Nas. When was the last time I did that? Or, if we know Arabic, when is the last time I recited just a very basic tafsir? It doesn't have to be a complicated one, a very basic one. You know, subhanAllah, because the Quran is kalamullah, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's endless. It's infinite in terms of the fountains of knowledge, subhanAllah, that we can derive from it. You might be surprised that when it comes to tafsir and they talk about the big mufassirs, the famous mufassirs, they mention al-Imam al-Alusi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And you'd think maybe he's a contemporary of Tabari, maybe from 1,000 years ago. He passed away in the 1850s, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Iraqi scholar. 1850s, less than 200 years ago, and his book is considered one of the pillars of tafsir, classical tafsir. Yet after 1,000 years of scholarship, he still was, what? Finding things, especially from the linguistic aspect of the Qur'an. Ibn Ashur, rahimahullah ta'ala. Amazing, it's phenomenal. He passed away in the early 70s. He's from Tunisia. And if you read his tafsir, you're like, wow. He's come across new things about the Qur'an. Just synthesizing what's been said in the past and adding things about Arabic grammar. You know what? At this point of Arabic grammar, looking at this ayah and these, wow, subhanAllah. There's no end to the Qur'an. Hadith, seerah. When was the last time? Ask yourself, when was the last time I read the seerah? Cover to cover. Cover to cover. So focus on the basics. Three, set a program and a regimen. It could be a self-disciplined, self-guided course. And there are some of them online, right? I'm not saying to study without a teacher, but there are some online, subhanAllah, where it's like, okay, you do this and you can ask questions on a forum, but it's kind of self-guided. Or am I going to join a class? SubhanAllah, I cannot keep up with all the institutes here in the Metroplex. They keep popping up. A new sheikh moved to town. MashaAllah, he started an institute. He's teaching this book and this book and this book. Oh, he has classes on this and this and that. And also sisters, MashaAllah. Scholars, female scholars coming to the community or guest scholars. Amazing opportunities we have. Start locally and look for those opportunities and say, I'm going to enroll one day a week. I'm going to enroll online and sometimes attend in person. What can you do? See what you can in your capacity and take advantage of local resources. Four, don't dismiss the barakah of doing it in a group. Halaqat, so simple. SubhanAllah, it's been happening since the time of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You get together with a few brothers or a few sisters, or sometimes families, sometimes children, and let's meet once a week for 1 hour. You'll be amazed in 52 hours a year how much progress can be made in terms of studying things, subhanAllah. And we already have plenty of halaqat in the community. Inquire, seek them out and join them bi-idhnillahi ta'ala or start one. Engage your family members. Maybe it's something spouses can do or a family. Okay, you know what? We're going to read this hadith book. It's not Riyadh al-Salihin or the 40 of Imam An-Nawawi, we're going to read this. Or 40 of Imam An-Nawawi, we're going to go deeper in terms of our sharh of it. And examples, again, examples. In our masjid, we have the firsts. phenomenal. It's so detailed in terms of the biographical accounts of these first believers by Dr. Umar Sulaiman. We have the Ta'seel class. Again, this is like so ilmi, it's so organized. We're going through this classical book. When you look at the major Muslim cities, it's always like, oh, I want to study this book. Oh, this sheikh is giving it in his house on Mondays and Wednesdays after Maghrib. Oh, this sheikh gives it at this famous masjid on Tuesdays and Thursdays after Fajr. There are so many opportunities, and inshallah, with our seeking the knowledge, we can increase them here locally. And fifth and finally, don't discount the time that you have. We have the same 24 hours that they did in the time of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes, there might be less barakah in it, but we have the same hours. We're just so oftentimes distracted that we waste those hours. We squander those opportunities, subhanAllah ta'ala. How many taxi drivers do we know or have we heard of in especially Muslim majority countries? But I saw a video recently about what? One brother in the UK, he said, I memorized the Quran while being a taxi driver. How? Well, between customers, I'd open up the Mus'haf, I'd read the ayah, and then I'd just keep repeating it. And then I memorized it. And then I did the next ayah, and the next ayah, and the next ayah. Oh, I finished a page. Now let me do the next page, and the next page, and the next. And then, mashallah, he finished, and now he's reviewing and reviewing. And there's no end to review of the Quran, of course. Until you pass away, you keep reviewing the Quran. I love the story of the shopkeepers of Damascus. I heard it from one of the ulama of Damascus, Syria. He said the shopkeepers in Su' al-Hamidiyah, this ancient, centuries-old market next to the Umayyad Mosque. He said they wake up at Fajr and they go to the mosque, they walk to the mosque, and then they attend the dars after Fajr. So maybe they're doing fiqh on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, let's say as an example, and aqidah on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And they come with their notebooks and they take notes, and then they go home after the dars, maybe shuruq time, they pray duha, they have breakfast with their families, and then they go and they open their shops. When dhuhr time comes, they go to the masjid, they lock up, and then they go home, they take a nap, have lunch with the family, and then they go and they reopen, and they might open till, let's say, Asr Maghrib. At that time, they close their shop again, and they go to the masjid. Again, two lessons a day, subhanAllah. And they might attend another dars, bring their notebook, bring the book that's being studied, and they'll do that. And he said, in this way, if a person has been doing this for 10 years, 20 years, imagine the knowledge they have. If they were to come to America, we say, Sheikh, I mean, you're so knowledgeable. You're like a scholar, mashallah. You've studied so much with all these ulama and everything. How are we sacrificing like they sacrifice their time? You hear of a sheikh who's visiting, and suddenly, oh, he's giving an ijaza in one of Tirmidhi's books. Great. Or this hadith book. Great. He's going to recite to you as he heard from his teacher, from his teacher, from his teacher, all the way to Rasulullah, and he's going to give a sharh. Very basic sharh, but a sharh. He's going to give an explanation. Great. I know some people, subhanAllah, they're flying out there. They're using their PTO to what? Take advantage of it. Every single moment, every single dollar that we spend for ourselves or for our families to gain knowledge, we should think of even more than professional development. At our workplaces, what do? We say, of course I'm going to spend $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 on this course or this certification. Why? It's going to come back to me tenfold. Well, this is going to help us with our akhirah. And as we think of the people of Gaza and of Palestine, subhanAllah, till this day, with the bombs falling, till this day with, we see the evacuations. No, run over here to this so-called safe zone while the bombs are falling in that safe zone. Lies being told to them. Massacres on a daily basis, subhanAllah, they're still seeking knowledge. They're still seeking knowledge. I saw a video recently of girls, they had finished their hifl of the Qur'an and said, okay, we want to do this exam again where we recite the whole Qur'an in one day. This is like an exam. So they sat with their teachers in a shaded area, a makeshift sort of tent room outside from morning until the end of the day, reciting what? Reciting the Qur'an. We have an amazing opportunity before us. We're in safety, alhamdulillah. We have prosperity, alhamdulillah. We have health, alhamdulillah. Every one of us, young and old, can take advantage of ilm, of seeking knowledge, and leveling up what we do. Let us not be like the ones who expect from our children, what, become a hafidh, and then we don't have anything to show for it ourselves. Oh, I want you to become knowledgeable, but we're not doing anything ourselves. And we'll end here بإذن الله تعالى. الحمد لله رب العالمين قيوم السماوات والأراضين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الصادق الأمين عباد الله اتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله والله بكل شيء عليم. يقول الله تعالى وقل رب زدني علما. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من خرج في طلب العلم فهو في سبيل الله حتى يرجع. استغفر الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين مدبر الخلائق أجمعين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الصادق الأمين عباد الله اتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله والله بكل شيء عليم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وارض اللهم عن أبي بكر الصديق وعمر بن الخطاب الفاروق وعثمان بن عفان ذي النورين وعلي بن أبي طالب المرتضى وحمزة أسد الله والعباس وولده وعن الصحابة أجمعين وعن التابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وللمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي كلمتي الحق والدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين وفي غزة وإخواننا المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وارزقنا علما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. والحمد لله على كل حال ونعوذ بالله من عذاب النار. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وأقم الصلاة.